So the way of the world and the way of Dharma are very similar in this one respect. In the when we begin to see the advantages and disadvantages, we will make appropriate we will behave appropriately in the ways of the world. If someone were to say, you know, that you were involved in some kind of work and someone, oh, this is a lousy job, you know this is it was lousy before, it's lousy now, it's going to be lousy in the future, you know, just kind of really lists all of the defects of this type of work, then you aren't going to make any effort. As a matter of fact, you're going to give it up. You're going to get rid of this type of work and look for something else. On the other hand, if you were had a job which you enjoyed and you thought about all the benefits from doing this type of work, all its good qualities, the profit to be made from it, then you're going to apply yourself very enthusiastically to this type of work, seeing the benefits to be derived. Likewise, from the point of view of the Dharma, we try to see what are the faults of what we're doing and what are the benefits of some other type of mode of behavior, of a different type of practice. Looking at the various faults of one type of behavior, we begin to reject that type of behavior. Looking at the benefits of another type of way of acting, we begin to adopt that more and more. So we abandon various ways of conduct in dependence upon seeing their faults. And we begin to practice other types of behavior by seeing the various benefits to be derived. Just as in the world, through seeing faults and benefits, we're going to either abandon or practice. So in the meditative tradition of exchanging self for others, we now come to two of the main divisions of this practice, and this is setting forth the disadvantages of self-cherishing as one, and then the benefits of other cherishing as the other. We're going to begin a discussion of the faults of self-cherishing. In general, there are the two attitudes of self-grasping and self-cherishing. Self-grasping is that which acts as the root of cyclic existence. It acts as the root of cyclic existence. Self-cherishing is the holding of oneself as dear. Holding oneself as dear. These two are associated, are like companions. These two are companions, self-grasping and self-cherishing. They are what holds us in cyclic existence. they are due to their force that we create all the various types of karma and continually undergo suffering. So it is due to these basic attitudes of self-grasping and self-cherishing that we generate the attachment, hatred, various delusions. That is to say, that we generate all the various afflictive emotions. In dependence upon afflictive emotions, we create karma, both negative and positive, in all their various varieties. In dependence upon creating karma, we perpetuate cyclic existence, and therefore have to undergo all the various types of suffering, dissatisfaction within cyclic existence without end. So there is a verse by the Master Shantideva which says that whatever troubles there are in the world, however much fear and suffering there is, if all these come from self grasping, of what use is this great demon to me? So all the various troubles, all the various sufferings whatsoever, all that is undesirable that we have to experience, all arises in dependence upon self-cherishing. The various independence upon self-grasping, the view of the transitory arises, and that these two are looked upon like demons, and these are to be gotten rid of. If during the course of this present life, one were to undergo a long illness, one were to be very sick for one's entire life, then this would be a catastrophe. People would think it was such a horrible thing to happen. But in fact, due to the force of self-cherishing, we had been, from beginningless time, taking dissatisfactory rebirths again and again and again up to now, all the suffering that we constantly experience has been arising from this sickness of self-cherishing. And still, if we do not seek to get rid of it, it's going to again cause us suffering again and again in the future. So, from beginningless time up to now, again and again, we've been forced to take rebirths within cyclic existence. We've been forced to undergo aging, sickness, and finally death. All the sufferings that we experience, no matter what, even a toothache, the harsh words that we are forced to experience, all that that is undesirable that we have to undergo, is all brought about, arises from self-cherishing. The fact that we aren't able to attain Buddhahood is dependent upon our self-cherishing. We haven't understood this fact previously, and that's why we have remained continually in suffering states. Now we know a little bit about the Dharma, and we know what is the root of our problems, that this self-cherishing from beginningless time is the root, the cause of everything that we, undesirable experience that we constantly are going through. Now we have to develop the determination to rid ourselves from the root of this source of suffering, this self-cherishing. The self-cherishing is like a chronic illness due to which we have been paralyzed. We cannot move, we cannot walk, we cannot eat. We are constantly undergoing the torment of this illness. Mm-hmm. Everything that we experience that is undesirable, no matter what, sicknesses, dissatisfactions, troubles, problems, the fact that we aren't able to attain liberation, the fact that we haven't attained Buddhahood, is all dependent upon self-cherishing. This is the fault, this is the defect of self-cherishing. As it said in the thought training, in thought transformation, that we are to drive the blame onto one, or to place the blame onto one, that this is the one thing that no matter what arises that is undesirable in our life, we are to blame it, to place the blame on this one thing of self-cherishing. It did it all. So these are not only from the negative side of the suffering that self-cherishing brings us, but also from the point of view of what it prevents us from experiencing. That all the various excellent qualities, happiness, that the attainment of the various paths, liberation, Buddhahood, are all prevented by the force of our own self-cherishing. Self-cherishing stops us from being happy. It is in dependence upon self-cherishing that we develop various distorted views, such as the distorted view of discounting the existence of the law of cause and effect. And due to discounting the law of cause and effect, then we continually engage in various types of unskillful actions, bringing us constant suffering. And on the other hand, we do not engage in the various types of actions which will bring us happiness.
Pena nga jiten pe ne lo to tang ge jar ba
You know, just as in the case of one planted a field, and you know, hope to get a good harvest, but before one could actually harvest the crop, someone came along and stole it. Though one had great hopes for harvest, one would not reap the benefit of having planted the field. And likewise, though we do engage in various dharma practices, but due to the force of attachment, hatred, pride, which arise, these afflictive states destroy all the benefits which arise from our dharma practice, and these all arise from self cherishing. So an analogy of self-cherishing would be the situation in which China invaded Tibet, and having invaded Tibet, they collected together, you know, all the precious jewels, gold, silver, that were in the country. And they used these as a means for building weapons of destruction, weapons of war. And then they carried, and they made use of these weapons in destroying other nations. And in doing so, they brought great harm, both to oneself and to others, in carrying out this war with these weapons. Likewise, under the influence of our self-cherishing, we are engaged in various negative actions, create various negative actions, and the result is likewise suffering for both oneself and others. So this example, whereby due to the influence of self-cherishing, we engage in various negative actions, and due to these negative actions, the result is that we have to undergo suffering. Remember the Namshe de Nika Shinga Marve.
Mare.
Namshe Shinga Marve.
Le Shingi Nas.
Le Shingi.
No Shiji Sabenta.
Namshe.
No Sabenta.
Sabenta.
Then the same thing called Chicha. Sabat the Nasa had to do with it. The Chicha. And then go out to the Jawa Nana. And then Kwaku. Then Kwaku at the Karium with Jabalasena. And then Ranjin the Umbita.
So it is said that that karma actions are compared to a field in which the consciousness sows seeds, and due to the cooperative conditions of attachment and grasping, which act like water, the conscious is forced to again and again to take rebirth, experiencing all the variety of sufferings, and this all comes about by the force of self-cherishing. So it said that the birth, the growing up of the sprout, is taking birth in cyclic existence and having taken that birth and necessarily undergoing all the variety of sufferings. And this is by the force of our own self-cherishing.
Da, mundo tanda dunga nyanche ndusu degi yores. Sanje kumbo tawo yongma, tawa tawo yongma des. Sanje ga tanda tawa to, sanje kumbo tusu taje, chimpa des. Da de gari jeba des, mundo ga ranjin di cheche, de ne, ranjin di deche, tawa se ya, sanje kumbo tawa tuwa, chunga des.
So previously, the Buddha was just like ourselves, wandering in cyclic existence. But we still abide in cyclic existence. That is to say, we have not attained liberation, we have not attained Buddhahood. But the Buddha has gone beyond cyclic existence. He has achieved Buddhahood. And what is the difference that we still remain in cyclic existence and the Buddha is now in the bliss of Buddhahood? Is due to the fact that we've held on to our self-cherishing and the Buddhas have abandoned it and practiced cherishing of others. So we could go on and on about all the faults, the defects of self-cherishing, but we only have a few minutes left. So we tried to, you know, to go into a detail, an explanation of the faults of self-cherishing, in order to develop the thought, wow, this is really terrible, and in order, as a means of saying, finally getting rid of it. So we'll spend 5 or 10 minutes answering questions.
Many people seem to have attitudes about themselves that not only bring them suffering, but prevent them from being able to benefit others. This is a bit cherishing. The attitudes that they're having about themselves isn't a self-cherishing, but it's causing suffering to themselves. And
for example, what attitude? So, with lack of confidence.
I guess.
With self-defeatism.
Yeah.
Due to that.
I think I've really just answered my question, actually. due to that, they're not only a cause of suffering to themselves, but they can't be a benefit to others in that situation. In that sense.
Mẹ mẹ kashi la na na di na gong gong jap tup ki mare na yapu mare na duk chere sanu to mo yore de ron jese mare yen ya so so la du na ge gyure shin 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 no pengi mare mẹ kashi la de na yapu mare na gong jap tup ki mare na duk chere de mo nam nam lo yore. And they bang chasing mare, you know, so se la dunya, ki aki gyure.
The prove it on chinde yung shi yung maras. Kadu de on chinde yung maras. You know, prove it, lo ma shen barwa. And yung mare zera, lo shen shi a shi yung. Ote, yung chinde yung shi yung go, zawati.
De
shi, de... Yung mare zera, lo shen ba shi, shi yung go, de shi a go, zawati.
Okay. So this attitude of self-deprecation is not, though it doesn't appear to be self-cherishing, in fact, it the root of it is self-cherishing.
Kind of chasing, wrong chasing, eh?
So one in this, one with the attitude of, oh, I can't do this. It's because if they try to do it, they would have to go to a lot of trouble, and because of their self-cherishing, they don't want to go through a lot of trouble. It would be difficult, and they don't want to go through any difficulties.
How do you see that as being the grasping aspect, or the grasping of something, something alive, something? You said, Rinpoche said in the beginning that the self-cherishing and self-grasping go together. And so maybe although it's difficult for me to see that this is some kind of cherishing,
So this is also, as you said, related to self-grasping. This attitude of self-defeatism is a type of laziness, and it's a fault, and it arises due to self-grasping. So when we talk about the self-grasping, another way to translate it is a conception of self, grasping or conception. You know, there is a self. In the term self-grasping, within the consequence of Middle Way School, that self that we're talking about here is a naturally, as conceiving of or grasping at a naturally existent I, conceiving of are grasping a naturally existent I. Now, this is the self this is the self we're referring to when we say self-grasping. In general, there is a self, there is an I, which must be taken care of. That it's quite proper to seek happiness for it, to give it food, to practice dharma in order to experience happiness for it in the future, to develop happy feelings. But when we talk about the self of self-grasping, this self is an object of negation. We're talking about a naturally existent self, which is to be negated. So that we must differentiate between a general self and the self of self-grasping. So the cause of self-cherishing is grasping at a self of persons. So, the conception, the self-grasping induces self-cherishing, but an example of a lesser vehicle photo story, there's no self-grasping, but still there's self-cherishing remains. That is not pervaded, that just because there's no self-cherishing, because there's no self-grasping, there's no self-cherishing. But in general, because there are different levels, but in general we can say that self-grasping induces self-cherishing.
Through ignorance we grasp at a not truly existent self. What is the cause of that ignorance?
The Taizing Marikpa, you cut it.
Yes,
I And then Dagzim Rekpa Gyu? Dagzim Rekpa Gyu? The way that ignorance grasping itself operates is independent upon two objects. One is the object of observation, which is the nominally existent self. The nominally existent self is observed. This is the I which actually exists. The I that naturally exists is nominally existent. And then it has a referent object. And this is the inherently existent I. So ignorance upon observing the object, the object of observation, which is the nominally existent I, creates a referent object, which is a inherently existent I, and grasps to this. This referent object does not exist. This ignorance arises due to a previous similar type to itself. Ignorance is continually arising independent upon a previous similar type to itself.